From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Peña with your state and local news updates. Juneau City officials are urging unvaccinated travelers arriving from Alaska communities that are seeing a rise in COVID-19 cases to get tested when they return to town. In a media release, City Manager Mila Cosgrove said that while things are starting to feel back to normal here in Juneau, other places like Anchorage, Sitka, and the Kenai Peninsula are seeing a surge of new infections. As of Wednesday, officials in Sitka reported 86 active cases. The city's risk level is high with restrictions on gathering size, social distancing, and capacity for bars and restaurants. Two Juneau residents who traveled to Sitka within the past week tested positive for the virus. In Anchorage, the resident alert level is high with 450 resident cases reported in the past 2 weeks. The Kenai Peninsula's alert level is intermediate, but the community has also seen an increase in case numbers similar to numbers reported last April. Anyone who wants to get tested can set up a time to get to test or get vaccinated by calling 586-6000 or going to juneau.org/vaccine. In other news, Juneau coffee shop Sacred Grounds recently got a makeover from Tlingit artists Michaela Goad and Robert Mills. KTOO's Lindsay Brolini talked with the artists about how they used new techniques to tell familiar stories.
A vivid new mural greets customers who walk into the Sacred Grounds coffee shop. It has lots of cool blue hues, dark trees, and distant mountains. Small birds fly around in the misty sky, and seals pop their head out of the water. Artist Michaela Shait-Ean Goad is Tlingit Kiks'adi and from Juneau. She has become well known for her work in illustrating a Google Doodle and the book We Are Water Protectors. The coffee shop that commissioned Goad is owned by Tlingit and Haida. Goad says they had one central idea in mind for the art.
When tribal members and especially elders were visiting the building they're stopping in as Sacred Grounds, they really wanted something to help liven up the space and to help tribal members feel more at home.
Goad thought a seascape would be a great way to do this. She currently lives in Sitka and did not paint the mural in person. In fact, the actual mural isn't a painting at all. It's a giant sticker.
For me, I have a hard time painting too large with watercolor, just with the nature of the paints. They dry quickly and you have to kind of go faster, so it's hard. It can be trickier the bigger you scale up. And then I'm also limited by paper size.
So she painted it, scanned it, touched it up in Photoshop, and then blew it up into the vinyl sticker that now covers an entire wall. Goad still hasn't seen her art yet in person, but Tlingit artist Robert Mills has. He's the other artist Sacred Grounds commissioned. He's Tsagwaydi and originally from Cake. Mills wasn't sure what direction he wanted to go with his art, since the project was pretty open-ended. But when he saw the misty fog in Goad's mural, it inspired him to depict the Tlingit story of Fog Woman. In the story, Raven courts Fog Woman, who is a supernatural being, but he mistreats her. Despite her situation, Fog Woman creates salmon. That process of creation during hardship really spoke to Mills.
The norm, I think, is just to be like, well, this scenario sucks. Go on living a melancholy life because you don't have X or Y. But she's speaking this thing into existence. And it just kind of blows me away because, you know, she eventually manifests salmon, even despite her scenario in which she's in, where she's being treated subpar.
The entire aluminum carving reads from right to left instead of left to right. On the far right is Raven. In the center of the sculpture is Fog Woman. She is in human form and is escaping from Raven's mouth. And salmon swim out of Fog Woman's mouth, being spoken into existence, as Mills puts it. On the very left of the sculpture is a hand.
And the hand is like, it's there in a way to say, pose the question, well, is that her hand or is that Raven's hand? Who's trying to obviously still remedy that separation.
Mills's aluminum carving of this story is mounted right below the bar where you would order a drink. The project was more complicated than Mills anticipated.
So I've had to learn these different formats and vectorization skills to get the form line down and vector it and then convert it and then shoot it over to a machine.
But Mills was interested in learning more about what he could do with aluminum, so he stuck with the material. In this carving, he treated the material in a way that makes it swirl and move like fog. And along with learning new techniques to carve formline, Mills mixed realism and formline together in his carving, something he says is uncommon. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolini.
The Biden administration announced Thursday that it's freezing any remaining old-growth timber sales in the Tongass National Forest and will pivot to investing in other sectors of Southeast Alaska's economy. While the move is being hailed by some as a reversal of pro-harvest policies pushed by the Trump administration, it's a return to federal forest practices outlined more than a decade ago. Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports.
A statement from the U.S. Department of Agriculture detailed what's called the Southeast Alaska Sustainability Strategy. It says the federal government will invest $25 million and work with tribes, communities, and Alaska Native corporations to provide technical assistance for projects and employment programs in the region. Conservationists like Trout Unlimited's Austin Williams at Anchorage says these on-the-ground investments will be greatly welcomed.
These are going to be projects that are going to offer real benefits to communities, offer real benefits to, you know, contractors that are doing the work on the ground, and ultimately are going to, you know, improve forest health conditions. So this is something that we've needed for a long time and that, you know, really is welcome news.
Alaska's Republican governor isn't welcoming it. In a statement, Governor Mike Dunleavy accused President Biden of trying to throw Alaskans out of work and harming small business. But those in the visitor industry applauded Thursday's announcement.
As we've been saying for a long time, like, there's so much else going on in Southeast Alaska that needs the Forest Service's attention.
Dan Kirkwood is a guide and general manager of Alaska Seaplanes Adventures in Juneau.
You know, we want to see the Forest Service recognizing and better serving the tourism economy. And in order for tourism to work for Alaskans throughout Southeast Alaska, we're going to need strong partners in the agency.
Thursday's statement follows a recent announcement that the Forest Service will start a lengthy process to reinstate the roadless rule in the Tongass, which restricts road building on federal forest lands. That reverses the Trump administration's decision to exempt the nation's largest national forest from the Clinton-era rule that's been fought by successive Alaska governors. The shift in policy is a dramatic one compared to the Trump administration, which had put resource extraction on federal lands front and center. But it's also something of a return to a vision of the national forest outlined by Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, the first time he was appointed to the job by President Barack Obama in 2009. For those that live in the heart of the Tongass, it's been exhausting to see federal leaders seesaw between policies. Paula Peterson is a tribal councilwoman for the organized Village of Kasan on Prince of Wales.
They go back and forth, and it's not fair to the people of the land because we never know which side we're on. So I would like to see us getting some protection long-term.
There have been lawsuits filed for and against the roadless rule exemption, which the Biden administration says will be reinstated. Juneau attorney Jim Clark has been coordinating that effort to defend the Trump administration's actions to loosen restrictions on road building. He says it's not clear how the Biden administration plans to carry out its goals without amending the 2016 Tongass Forest Plan.
At this point, there are policy announcements by the USDA about what they're going to do. And what we're going to need to see is how they move to achieve those things.
The USDA noted that the Tongass has global significance as the largest intact temperate rainforest in the world. It also captures more carbon than any other national forest in the country. But details beyond Thursday's press release announcing the Southeast Alaska Sustainability Strategy haven't been released. Questions about timelines and specific projects remain pending with the USDA headquarters in Washington. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
In other news, Canadian authorities say they'll lift a pandemic-era ban on cruise ships in the country's waters, but it won't happen until after the end of Alaska's 2021 cruise season. The decision means cruise ships could again sail from Vancouver and Victoria to Alaska in 2022. Until this year, large cruise ships registered abroad were required to stop in Canada on their way from Seattle to Alaska to comply with federal law. But after Canada extended its cruise ship ban through the 2021 summer cruise season, Congress granted a temporary waiver to allow cruise ships to bypass a foreign stop. Canada's ports reopened to cruise ships on November 1st. For more on this and other news stories, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.